You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS.
Welcome back, everyone, to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I am registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I am PhD neuroscience student something or another, Tariq Youssef, and I'm here too.
I'm here. I want to start off this episode with a message from a listener, because I thought it was such a nice message that I just want to read it off. I just got it today. So this message is from, and it's funny because she may not hear this for a while, because she mentioned that she's starting the podcast from, like, she had just recently started listening from season one, episode one. So it's going to be a while. But her name is, actually, I'm not really sure, but her Instagram account is, I don't want to say her name, but anyways, if your name is Remy and you messaged me, hello.
Hello.
Okay, so this is what she said.
I love that name.
I know, I do too. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. I hope that's her name. Maybe it's just her nickname. But she said, this is wild. I'm going through your pod from the beginning, and I'm at the first episode since COVID. I'm realizing I'm going to relive 2020 through the pod. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then she says, the main reason I wanted to reach out is that these topics are resonating so much with my work. I can't believe how validating it is to hear these topics talked about from another healthcare professional. You gave your mom a shout out in this episode and mentioned that she usually trains family practice nurses. I'm a family practice nurse and physically shouted, whoop, whoop, walking down, while walking down the road, listening to this pod. So I'm very thankful to be able to listen to you and Tariq on my walks to and from work, and thankful for your mom for training family practice nurses. Power mom daughter duo. Thank you.
Love that. You know, we have a lot of healthcare practitioners who listen.
We do. We do. Physios, nurses.
I'm very appreciative of that. I'm so glad everybody is listening, and I hope they're enjoying as much as Remy.
A lot of researchers and like scientists as well.
We're a registered dietitian.
Well, that too. Yes, we definitely have some dietitians listening as well. So shout out to you all. Shout out to all the listeners. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Remy, if that's your name. If that's your real name.
Thank you for being a family practice nurse. If that's your real name. Thank you for being a family practice. That's an amazing job. Being a family practice nurse is amazing. I mean, our healthcare system is so stacked up against everybody, including the healthcare workers.
Yeah,
and totally. I feel like nurses get a lot of the the short end of the stick sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really appreciative of all the work that nurses do.
So am I. Yeah, and we're just appreciative of all the messages you guys send us too. We should start reading them out more. I feel like I say that often. But when I got that one today, I was like, all right, we're recording tonight. I'm going to read that because it was a sweet message. And I love that she's kind of listening from the start, and she's,
I know.
It's crazy to go back and listen.
I was just thinking, like, it is weird. I never thought about this, but we do have this like digital diary of our lives.
It's so true. It's like a journal, of like what was going on in the world every week for the last year and a half.
As soon as I have kids.
Oh my god! I have a question for you, Tariq.
I can't imagine what your question might be, but I guess go ahead.
Do you have a BS of the week for me? What did you come across this week?
I do have a BS of the week. Thank you so much, and I'm going to start off with a question. Have you ever heard of Sarah's program?
I have not. And I don't know if I do want to know.
Okay. So you don't. But I'm going to tell you. So this all started with a tweet. So this tweet was like verbatim. TikTok's impact on the music industry is fucking crazy. And it got like however many thousands of retweets, like so many retweets. And I guess the Grammys was on this past week, so I don't know anything about pop culture anymore because I live under a rock. But I'm guessing some TikTok stars got a Grammy. I don't know, maybe. Or I'm guessing that's what this tweet was like alluding to.
So I think it was because a lot of artists, like singers, songwriters, etc., have actually gotten or gained a lot of popularity through TikTok. So
is Billie Eilish TikTok?
No, I would say Billie Eilish got like famous and really popular before TikTok. But okay. Someone like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the singer Doja Cat. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah,
so glasses.
I don't know.
She has glasses.
Maybe. She has
if
glasses.
If you're listening and you know that Doja Cat has glasses, send us a message.
This is how out of touch from pop culture we are. But she like got really popular just off TikTok because her people were using her songs to make like videos to, or you know, make dances to, or their recipes to, or things like that.
Right.
And that's how a lot of artists have gained a lot of popularity on TikTok, is that their songs get used at for like TikTok trends, and then they blow up and get really, really popular. So that's what I'm assuming the tweet is about.
I'm just smiling because I just remembered that Vine used to exist.
Oh,
and the only thing I remember off Vine is, do you remember the Vine that was like, a potato flew around my room? Do you remember that?
I don't know that one. No.
Anyway, I agree with your assessment, and I think that's what the tweet was about. So this tweet got retweeted like 85,000 times, got almost like a million likes. It did really well. And it just came up on the podcast's Twitter account feed. I was like, oh, interesting. And the account had like 13,000 followers. And it seemed like the account was just like retweeting memes. Like,
okay.
It seems really innocuous, just like a random Twitter account. And you know what? And maybe you know a little bit about this from, you know, media work, but e-commerce moves frickin' fast, because a few hours later, this person started adding replies to their own tweet to create a thread.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those tweets were ads. So they were literally like posting links and then going hashtag ad, because I guess they were getting a lot of traffic to that tweet. And I'm guessing some companies were like reaching out and be like, if you make a reply about our product, you can get money.
Like,
I don't know.
We'll pay
know,
you.
That's
oh my gosh.
Happening.
Wow.
So one of the ads was like for a fidget toy or something. And of course, one of them was about weight loss.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Here we go. The story gets interesting. So the weight loss tweet reads, if you want to lose weight quick, read this thread, hashtag ad. Okay. So this person who originally tweeted the TikTok tweet had quote retweeted some other user's tweet, which is this part of a huge thread about their experience with a diet created by, and I quote, this girl, Sarah, who discovered a weight loss program at school.
Oh my God.
But this is such an elaborate ad that it starts out with a completely unrelated tweet as total clickbait. So
okay.
I'm hoping you'll let me do a dramatic reading of the Twitter thread.
Of course.
Okay. So this is the first tweet. You would have no idea this has to do with the diet.
Mm-hmm.
The first tweet is, yes. So by the way, if it sounds like I'm ever making fun of this person throughout me reading this, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. But also, this is... as you'll see why this is a BS of the week, like there's no malice intended in me doing this reading of these tweets.
Okay.
So this person says, yes, I cry a lot in bed, but no, not because of boys and love, mostly because of money, my mom, friends, studies, and why the hell am I not good enough? ... A thread. Okay, that's the first tweet. You'd have no idea.
No.
Over 800 retweets. Over 3,000 likes. So it got a lot. So somehow this caught people's attention. So I'm going to quickly read through the thread. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I really feel like I need to talk about it now that I just turned 21 and everyone has all these expectations. I know most of you have no clue who I am and don't even care, but this is probably the hardest thing for me to do. And then there's a picture in the next tweet. This was taken on my birthday last year, and although it was fun, I honestly wasn't happy at all. I didn't bother trying to look good because I felt so disgusting and ugly. Maybe you think I'm complaining because it was a story like this that inspired me to do what I did. One of my biggest goals was to be able to feel pretty on my day. Every year goes by and I'm so terrified of what people are going to say, so I stopped posting pics whenever that day comes around. I've tried dieting and working out, but it just doesn't work for me at all. I even tried not eating and I started to lose a little bit, but it was so uncomfortable hearing people ask, "Why aren't you eating?" and seeing people eat whatever and not gain a single pound. Ugh, like why? Why can't I just eat like a normal person and not have to struggle? Month after month passed by and I gave up on myself and I had absolutely no more faith at this point. It got so bad that I started cutting my friends off, and my grades dropped since I would skip school just to be alone and avoid all the pressure. This was the moment I realized I needed to do something. My bras and my underwear rarely fit, and taking selfies was more depressing than ever before. I knew that I wasn't happy with how I looked, and everything in my life was falling apart due to all of my insecurities. Crying myself to sleep every night was awful. My dog couldn't even come to bed with me anymore because there wasn't any room, and I was in total shock that I actually gained that much weight. I would just search Google and scroll on social media for anything that would help. I remember it was a Sunday night and Oomph had liked a post about this girl, Sarah, who discovered a weight loss program at school. I'm not sure if it was out of desperation or whether I was just really curious, but I decided to read it. Now, I was on a website that said, "Meet the Stanford master student who lost 25 pounds with her university's money." And I laughed at first, but I grew more interested as I kept reading it. If you want, you can check out the article here. There's a link. So I'm laying there like, what the actual fuck? Like, this has to be a bunch of BS. But then again, I honestly wanted to try it too. I had nothing to lose and I could relate to everything she was saying, and it made me wonder. And it turned out to be the absolute best decision I've ever made until this day. I still can't believe what happened to me after this. I knew I would be drinking a lot during this whole process, so I went out and bought a whole box of Gatorade. That's my favorite drink. So I would be prepared to stick with it. I was so determined to do this. I added Sarah's routine to my daily schedule and began following her directions every day, and finally saw my body changing week after week. My fat belly, my thick arms, cellulite on my legs, etc. started disappearing, and it was mind-blowing to actually see the results. In 2 weeks, I went from this, there's a picture, and then 2 weeks later, I kept seeing results. And after another quick month, now 3 months of using this every single day, it's so amazing to see where I first started to where I am now, all thanks to Sarah's program. I have so much more energy and I'm so proud of myself. Absolutely 100% natural results. Some people are going to say, that's not even the same girl. Whatever, dude. Here's before and after in the same outfit, same face, same tattoo. I did this. It was my birthday last week, and for the first time in a very long time, I felt beautiful and so happy on my special day. That was the greatest gift I could have ever asked for, and I'm glad that I have friends who supported me throughout this whole journey. Thank you all. Made this video this morning, then got on the scale and realized I'd hit my goal. There's a lot of skeptical people reading this who think I'm bullshitting or that I'm promoting a scam. I thought the same thing until I actually tried it. So if you're not satisfied with your body, you should try Sarah's program. It's worth it. If I never saw Sarah's article that night, I don't even know if I would ever be as happy as I am today. Like, I can't even find the words to describe how blessed I am for this opportunity to get the body I've always wanted. Everyone should be able to feel this confident. Okay.
Whoa. Wow.
So lots of before and after images throughout this whole thing. Okay. Lots of photos. Lots of claims about Sarah's program. Okay?
Okay. I want to know what it is.
So now it's time for some investigative journalism before we even get to Sarah's program. Okay? Do you know what reverse image searching is? Have you ever done that? So instead of searching for a phrase on Google, you can actually put in a picture and Google will tell you all the websites that that picture is on.
No way.
You reverse search the image. So I reverse image search some of the pictures and guess what? They do not belong to the same person. They have been reshared multiple times by a bunch of different Twitter accounts about all over the web. So it already seemed kind of sketchy. So now let's go to the actual site from the thread, which I'm going to text you right now so you can look at it with me if you'd like. The site that has, quote, Sarah's program on it. So once you open the page, you'll see that the first thing is what looks to be a Photoshopped, to me, what looks to be like a Photoshopped Instagram post by the infamous Sarah Johnson. Okay, this is okay. That article about the Stanford University student who, master student who created this weight loss program. So the account on that image of the Instagram post is Sarah Johnson, just the name. Plug that into Instagram. Guess what? It's not the same person at all.
Really?
It's actually a YouTube staff member when I looked it up. Hmm. So investigative journalism. So second of all, I looked at this and looked and looked and looked, but Stanford doesn't even offer a master's of nutrition degree. So this degree that they're talking about in the article does not exist. They don't offer a master's of nutrition.
Okay.
So the article reads kind of similar to this thread, this very emotional thread that's really clickbaity and really pulling at people's heartstrings and trying to get empathy. It reads, I've struggled with my weight my entire life. I've tried all sorts of diets, but they just didn't work as good as they promised. I have a full-time job at a local grocery store, and I'm also working towards my master's degree, so I don't have any time to be at the gym. Okay, where are you going? When I was assigned this big research project, I saw it as a perfect opportunity to take a deeper look at the natural weight loss opportunities that are out there. And that's when I found out about combining Keto Advanced and apple cider vinegar. The best part of it all, I can tell everyone is proud of me. That's what she says. So she goes on, Sarah Johnson, whoever, because it's not a person, whoever it is.
They don't exist.
Keto Advanced contains naturally occurring ingredient hydroxycitric acid, which boosts weight loss by blocking excess body fat production while increasing resting metabolism by more than 130%. This combination makes the body go from a fat gain to fat loss state while resting. Huge claims there. So they say increase resting metabolism more than 130%. That's impossible. Two, flush out harmful toxins. We know that's not true. Three, boosts energy levels and increases mood. A lot of things do that. Four, blocks excess fat production. I don't think so. And you'll see if you scroll to the very bottom of the page, it says free bottles, limited time offer. And it's like very clickbaity. It says like update. There's only a few bottles left and the promotion expires. Guess what? On the day that you're looking at the website for this Keto Advanced product.
So that's all it is? Yeah, is that product?
Exactly. Sarah's program is the pill, Keto Advanced, apple cider vinegar. So I feel like I rambled a lot, but I do have a bit more to talk about. I'm just.
Oh my God, yeah.
Is there anything that you want to say before I keep going?
No, I'm like in shock. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, it's wild. So I looked up hydroxycitric acid. So hydroxycitric acid is a chemical that's found in abundance in a fruit, Garcinia cambogia, and it's apparently purported to lead to weight loss because of some sort of Krebs cycle situation.
I've heard of, and I've said that word before, Garcinia cambogia. I said it on the podcast. I don't know which episode it was. I don't know if it was
not our podcast.
No, it was this one. I think it was the Kardashians episode, and I think that was an ingredient in one of the like fat loss products that Kim makes promoted sense. At one point or something like that. I think that's not what surprising. I know it from, or it's from like a skinny tea like that. It's not surprising at all. Yeah. Anyways, carry on.
And of course, this is kind of an old thing. Sarah's program is nothing new. This Garcinia stuff, like you said, like Kim was promoting it, it's years old. And there have been clinical trials. And guess what? Some of them say that there's an effect when there's not. And a lot of them say that there's no effect at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huge surprise there. There's some recent work that looked at hydroxycitric acid for weight loss. And they continue. So the recent work, I mean, like from 2020, and this one paper that I saw, by the way, I'm not linking any of this because honestly, this paper, even though I did appreciate that they provided some references, I still found it was very diet culture-y, and I don't really want to promote anything that they say in the conclusions because they still like conclude a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
But they say in the paper that hydroxycitric acid is controversial in the literature. But they add, and they say stuff like, you know, a lot of it was short-term trials, so how can you really know? Well, we do know it's generally safe. However, there was a report of 23 cases of liver toxicity associated with its use in 2009. So it's not FDA approved.
Okay.
Or the FDA urged customers to avoid one of the products that contained Garcinia Cambogia. So, okay, that's not a great start. However, they say basically it's kind of difficult to conclude that there is this fat loss effect, because there's no clinically relevant weight loss right now. This paper goes on to suggest like a weird thing at the very end. They say like, well, let's take all of the compounds that have some evidence of promoting weight loss, and then like you should take all of them at the same time, like combination.
Oh,
so you should
God.
Have like 3 cups of coffee a day, 10 cups of green tea, and like we don't have a million other things.
Sure, yeah, so doable.
So yeah, exactly, completely not doable. And also, again, like Sarah's program, which is not real, it continues to be this conversation of what foods promote weight loss rather than A, why are you trying to lose weight, and B, weight loss is due to a caloric deficit, and your healthy lifestyle should involve healthy food and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And no one talks about that.
Yeah.
It's like you might as well be eating rocks as long as you're taking apple cider vinegar and
right.
keto advanced.
Oh, they don't even address it. Yeah, it's just like,
yeah.
take this, you're good. Wow.
So that is my BS of the week, Sarah's program.
Okay, I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Can we go back to the photos?
Of course.
So the transformation photos you're saying...
are from the Twitter thread.
Are from the Twitter thread.
Which I could find for you if you'd like.
No. So you said like they're not the same person? What did you say?
I don't believe they are. And I'm pretty sure they don't even belong to the Twitter account that used them, is also what I was trying to say. Because they've been used like all over the web.
These photos have been used by like...
other people
tons
trying
of
to
different...
get use
okay.
Sarah's
okay.
program. I'm assuming the link they have like gets them whatever, a percentage of the profits or something.
So the person who was tweeting in that thread was not... No, wait. She...
Sarah. They weren't Sarah.
No, they weren't Sarah. No. They were just someone... Oh my gosh. The internet scares me. Like, something is so weird with that. And like...
I know, to use like such a, what appears to be a very personal and very troubling story of somebody's, you know, poor mental health and poor body confidence, to use that to then get profits from a scam, I think that's really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I on like, so let's just get this clear. So that Twitter thread was shared on the tweet that was going viral. As an ad.
Yeah. Correct.
Oh my gosh. So it wasn't even... So the person whose tweet was going viral...
Exactly.
Just reshared that thread. It wasn't even her thread. Or their thread.
Hashtag ad. Yeah.
It was just at... The thread is the ad. Like, that's the content.
Yeah.
Oh right. My goodness.
Isn't that wild?
So someone literally
like,
must have just...
a whole new level of, like, social media.
Yes. Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, someone just slid into the DMs of the person whose tweet was going viral and was like, hey, I'll pay you if you, like,
add this tweet
to the tweet that's going viral. Or, like, comment it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The internet is just...
Isn't that
people
not,
will
like,
do anything to, like, one, make money. Two, promote their... scammy diet product. Like they just look for stuff that's going viral and try to tag onto it.
That like presumably, and again this is all on presumption, I know, but it does seem like there's something really sketchy in that the person who tweeted out those before and after images that I was talking about was scamming. Presumably they're using photos of somebody without their permission to do this, like, which is also really sad.
That happens probably way more often than we think. I mean, I see it all the time on the internet that people will, like, fitness influencers or things like that will, like, have their photos used as, like, before and after photos for like random diet products or diet plans and things like that. And they just, these plans or product companies, whatever, just take people's transformation photos from the internet and say that, you know, so-and-so used our program and got this transformation, when in reality they didn't. Yeah. Or do you know what I mean?
Well, presumably like, if you're just like, if you're just scrolling through Twitter, there's no reason to think that this is necessarily a scam. If you're just like seeing a thread like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can see why it'd be so easy for people to go through and be like, oh, like this must be real, because it looks like somebody's being really personal and sharing a really personal story. But then it turns out to be Stanford doesn't even have a master's of nutrition program. Like the lie goes so deep.
Yeah, that's just wild. And okay, can we talk about, sorry, the one last question I have about this article about Sarah's program. The thing about how she lost 25 pounds with her university's money. What is that? What's the money?
Her whole story is that she got funding. This is so weird. It's like, it like doesn't make sense. It was clearly written by somebody who's never been a graduate student, because that's not how this works.
Right.
Like, her whole story is she got funding for a project. It would never be in her pocket. Like, that's not how this works. She got money for a project, and then she was willy-nilly just like buying things off the internet that seemed like they might promote weight loss. And then she says, like, I had $6 left, and you know, this company had a deal on. So, you know, I just decided, whatever, like, I'll just spend the $6. And guess what? It worked.
Stop. What a freaking scam. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the website is, of course, called, like, Healthline Network.
It's called Health News Center.
Yeah.
Healthnewscenters.org. Oh, my gosh. That is wild. What a wild BS of the week. I am, like, mind blown. So, I don't even know. Like, there was so much to even unpack. Well, you know, this is for another episode.
Yeah,
but
I know. It goes beyond the scam.
Like, even in the thread.
Way that they promoted
her. Yeah, like, in the thread, like, the way they promoted her poor body image and, like, and, you know, low self-esteem and all this stuff and wanting to look good on your birthday.
As
like,
if,
there's
like,
just
young
so
women
much
need to go through Twitter and, like, see something like that, like,
right.
Like, you know what
they
I mean?
They live it every day, and then they just need, it's just another.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's just so much to unpack there, but we'll save that for another.
That could be a whole episode.
It really could. It really could.
Yeah, just that Sarah's program.
Seriously. Oh, wow. So, moral of the story, I mean, just, you really can't trust everything you see on the internet, especially when it's from random, I don't want to say random people, but like people who, they have no credentials. They're not, you know, it's even anecdotes. Like, you really have to take anecdotes with a grain of salt. Like, if someone is saying that they lost weight because of this, or, you know, this was their journey and this is what worked for them, you really have to, like, take those things with a severe grain of salt.
It's actually, like, social media. So I don't know if you heard about this, but several months ago, a really prominent person in academics was caught impersonating a fake professor, and they pretended to be a queer woman of color, I think indigenous woman of color, professor at a university, and then pretended that that professor got COVID and died or something, because the lie had gone too far and, like, someone had found out. And they were using that platform to, like, I don't know, like, bully other people or something. I was going to say, like, even if somebody has credentials, like, you still have to be so careful online with what you're, like, I couldn't believe, it was such a weird story. I'll try to send you an article about that later.
Okay.
Everyone calm down. It's okay.
Deep breaths. Take a breath.
We're going to move forward.
We're going to move forward.
Everyone put down Sarah's program. Don't do it.
We're going to move forward, and we're going to have it's going to be a relaxing episode. We had, so we had an intense BS of the week.
I would love to talk about something lighthearted for once.
Let's talk about something lighthearted, something positive. And we're going to talk about there's a cooking, food preparation, kind of like food skills sort of episode.
Or Guy Fieri vibes, you know.
The flames on the shirt.
Let's go to Flavortown.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, today we're going to talk about some, we're going to share some of our favorite tips for preparing and cooking and enjoying vegetables, because I know that, you know, not everyone out there is the biggest fan of one, cooking and food preparation, and two, of vegetables in general, eating them. They might find it hard to eat enough. We know that eating, you know, eating vegetables is good for our health. We know that. Yeah. So
the first thought is like, oh, it's so hard to cook.
Right.
All the prep.
Right. Or yeah, exactly. Or they don't taste good. They're bland. Like, you know, so we want to talk about some different ways that you can cook and prepare veggies, to maybe get a little more enjoyment out of them and out of the process too. So maybe what we can do is do a little bit of a back and forth. Like one person shares a tip and then the other person.
Absolutely.
Okay. You go first.
Okay. Well, okay, so I have a bunch of different things that I kind of separated into little categories.
Okay.
So I'll give you one thing from my first category. So my first category actually has to do with, I mean, basically my whole thing has to do with as little prep as possible, because if you're, you know, on a time crunch is totally what I'm trying to think of when I was trying to give these tips. So my first thing is all about baking vegetables rather than having to go through like sautéing or... Yeah. You know, like lightly frying or whatever. I love baking vegetables because A, you can get a lot done at a time. You can fit a lot on a tray and put it in an oven. And making a tray bake can be so easy. So, I mean, there's really no like trick to it. Like you really can just like throw vegetables on a tray with a little bit of oil, whatever you like, seasonings, and then throw it in an oven, make it work. You can do it from frozen. Or, you know, you can do it fresh. It does get a little tricky a little bit when it comes to baking times. That's something that I was thinking about. So, for example, if you're somebody who, you know, you want to make a roast dinner and you want to make roast vegetables to go along with that, but you also want to throw in like broccoli as well as sweet potatoes. Okay. That broccoli is probably going to brown pretty quickly. And the sweet potatoes are going to take a little bit longer, but they also have a lot of sugar in them. So they might start caramelizing and turning dark really quickly too. So it's one of those things that, yes, sure, maybe you don't have to do a lot of prep for a tray bake. Like you can do big chops, right? You don't even need to peel some of the vegetables if you want to. Carrots and potatoes and things like that. You can throw them in the oven. You don't have to slice and dice really thin to make sure it gets cooked evenly, because they're going to be in there for a bit, maybe 30 to 45 minutes. But you do have to kind of know the timing that you want to check on your food for. So I think that's something that I really love about vegetables, is doing a bake with them. Kind of in tandem with that, maybe I'll say a little bit, I'll talk a little bit about flavor. Okay. So when doing a tray bake, you can just throw the vegetables in and eat them like that. I've done that a lot of time, but I really like seasoning my food. I love seasoning vegetables specifically because I think it can become really delicious. I mean, think about having mashed potatoes. If you're having mashed potatoes, no butter, no anything, no garlic, like it's not that great, but seasoning it like takes it to a whole new level. So I love seasoning my vegetables. And my favorite thing to do, especially with a tray bake, is to do a little bit of a spice and oil rub. So kind of like think of the things that you like to eat. What are the flavors that you love? And just make sure you have those things in the pantry to use for a tray bake anytime. So you might really love the taste of lemon. You might really love garlic, salt, pepper. I really love ginger. I love the flavor of mustard. And I love the flavor of olive oil. You really don't need to worry about proportions too much when you're seasoning vegetables, especially if you're doing a tray bake. So if you just take one spoon of all of those kind of like almost saucy and spicy things that you love, I wouldn't do like a whole spoon of cayenne, unless you're going to burn your tongue off, and mix them together, you've literally just created your own rub. And you can rub those vegetables just like you would meat and throw them on a tray, put them in the oven. I mean, it's really, really easy, and it's such a huge payoff for such little work. You know, there's things that you might specifically want to use for seasoning for certain vegetables. Like when I do potatoes, I always think rosemary, right? Like that, it's just my favorite thing to put on potatoes. I love doing potatoes and rosemary, and doing a tray bake makes it all that easier. I don't have to sit there and stir anything. I don't have to make sure that everything's cut perfectly, you know, all this stuff. So I really love baking vegetables. I think it takes a lot of the stress out of cooking vegetables. And I think you get lovely flavor for the little work that you have to do.
I love that. I actually, that was one of my tips as well. So thank you so much for sharing that one. So baking / roasting, right? Like same thing.
Roasting. Oh yeah. Sorry. Roasting.
Okay. Cause roasting vegetables. Yeah, I'll tack on to that one couple tips for roasting. You already gave some great ones, but one tip that has gone a long way for me, and I know this is something I do every time I roast vegetables, and then I've had to almost like teach my family about it because they're like, how do you get your vegetables so crispy or to cook so well? Mm. And so my number one tip is not to overcrowd the pan when you are roasting vegetables. So true. Because like shout out to my dad, he's a great cook, but when he makes like sweet potato fries in the oven or roasted sweet potatoes, they'll like be so crowded in the pan that they don't get that crisp, right? Because they're like...
The ones that are touching each other get soggy.
Yes, they get like almost soggy instead of crisp like you want them. So that's my tip. Do not overcrowd the pan. If you have to use two pans, use two pans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're doing a tray bake, those are the only dishes you're going to have to wash anyways. And
that's such a good point. Dishes.
Right. Yeah. Plus dishes. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, if you want to take another step and you really don't want to do dishes, you can put like foil on the pan to completely cover it. And then you really barely have to wash your pan at all. So there's that. And then the other thing, I mean, you already mentioned seasoning them, but this leads me into one of my tips, which I'll go into now, which is that using fat or like butter and oil, that goes a long way on vegetables.
So true.
I know that, you know, diet culture in the diet world, you know, butter and too much oil and things like that get such a bad rap. And it's all about like steaming your vegetables for like the lowest calorie option and like... whatever, all that sort of messaging. You know what? Seriously. I am tired of, like, quote, healthy recipes skimping on oil. Because the vegetables don't taste good if you don't use enough oil. Like, using enough oil adds flavor. It adds that, if you're roasting vegetables, like, it adds that, it helps them get crispy. It adds, adding fat literally helps you, like, with your satiety and feeling fuller longer. Mm. So, and it also helps you absorb a lot of the vitamins in your vegetables, the fat soluble vitamins, right? Yeah. So all the more reason to add some fat. You don't have to add a lot. You don't have to overpower it.
No, but how much are you really getting? Some of it's getting cooked off. And
right.
You're probably not eating the whole tray.
Exactly. So. And if you are, whatever, you know what, like having that oil, if that's going to encourage you to enjoy and eat more vegetables, like, go for it. I don't see why you need to avoid oil or butter on your vegetables, or even things like cheese or, you know, anything to like flavor your vegetables, whether it's butter, whether it's oil, whether it's a little bit of cheese or some sort of dressing or sauce, like all of those things, if they're going to flavor them more in a way that's going to make you enjoy them and actually get pleasure out of eating them rather than feeling like it's a drag to eat vegetables because they're tasteless, then do it. You know, dip them in hummus, dip them in dressing, sprinkle some cheese on top. Seriously, like whatever it's going to take to get you to eat more vegetables, I'm happy with.
I love that. I really love that. You know, speaking of flavoring too, and especially speaking of oils, there are lots of really inexpensive seasonings that can give a lot of flavor if you don't even want to think about making your own, like, rubs, for example, or your own seasoning. So, like, something like a garlic chili oil that you can buy for probably $3 at the grocery store goes a long way. It's not as hot as you think it is. Like, don't be scared of getting something like a garlic chili oil. And it gives a lot of flavor, and you can just literally spoon it on, put the stuff in the oven, and there it goes. There's a lot of ways to get a lot of flavor out of vegetables. Something else I was thinking about in terms of roasting vegetables too is if you're already making, let's say, like a roast ham or a roast chicken or roast turkey, throw some vegetables on that same tray or throw them underneath the chicken or the turkey.
Yeah.
They're going to absorb a lot of the juices that come out of that meat. And they're going to taste amazing. And again, you've cut down on the work that you have to do.
Yeah.
And you've cut down on the dishes.
Yeah, we're all about kind of reducing or cutting back on the fuss, right? Not having to spend so much time to make food delicious, make food taste good. I love that. Okay, so this one I actually just recently learned, and maybe you already know this, but I didn't. And I actually didn't start trying it until this week. This is a tip for like storing cut fruit and vegetables, particularly the vegetables. I think for some people, thinking about storing things in water might seem like counterintuitive, like it might make them soggy or go bad faster. But actually, if you store certain vegetables, like almost like hard vegetables, like carrots or celery or potatoes, in water after you cut them, they'll actually like it prolongs their freshness and can
love
help
that.
Them stay
I
fresh
heard
longer.
That. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, sometimes like even if you store celery in the fridge or even if you cut it up and you store it in a Tupperware, I still find that sometimes like it turns like rubbery after.
It almost. Totally. The texture changes.
Yeah. After, I don't know, a few days. But what I started doing this week is I literally brought my celery home. I like cut it up, washed it. And then I stored it in like an airtight Tupperware container with a little bit of water at the bottom. And it's still good so far, a few days later, like super crunchy. And so you can do that with carrots, celery. I think you can also do it with avocado, I have heard. Like if you have, you know, like half an avocado and you know, there's always different ways you can store leftover avocado. But one way is like put it like almost like the cut side down in water.
A bit of water.
Yeah. And that will help
amazing.
Preserve the freshness.
I will definitely start doing that.
Yeah.
Kind of on that same track, something that someone told me about recently, I almost didn't believe them. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Green onions. If you use up green onions and you get down to the white part that has a little bit of rootlets on it, stick it in a cup of water. I'm telling you, the next day you're going to have double the amount of green onion that you came home with.
Yeah.
That stuff grows fast.
Yeah.
I get no sunlight in my apartment. I literally live in a cave. We have to move. It grows so, I swear I need to put a camera on it because it grows so fast. I bet you could watch it grow.
Yeah.
Every day I come home, I have so much green onion, and I can't believe it. It's amazing.
It's amazing. And obviously that, helps you save money. You know, it's annoying to buy green onion too. Like, because it's, you know, usually it's like a garnish and you're not going to use the whole thing. I always find it annoying to buy green onion because I'm like, it's going to go bad.
Make now, I'm literally like snip, snip, snip.
Yeah.
And just cut off a little bit of the green onion.
I love it.
My cup.
I love it. That's such a great tip. Okay, so my next one. Okay, we've talked about this a lot, but I wanted to include it in here. And around just eating vegetables and preparing them is to use, in some circumstances, frozen vegetables. So we've talked about this a lot, but you know, frozen vegetables are just as nutritious, if not more nutritious, than certain fresh vegetables, or depending on the time of year, because frozen vegetables are flash frozen at peak ripeness, meaning that, you know, when they contain the most nutrients or, you know, they're the most ripe, that's when they're frozen, and that's when you're going to eat them, you know, at that state. So, why I recommend this, obviously that number one reason, number two, they're convenient. The thing with frozen vegetables is that most of them are already chopped, and ready to cook. You don't have to do that prep work. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that really, gets in your way or keeps you from preparing or eating more vegetables, having frozen ones that are already chopped, already just ready to cook, don't even need to be washed or sliced or whatever. They just need to be cooked. That can be really helpful. I do find there's certain ways to cook frozen vegetables that are better than others. So like steaming them tends to be a good one, or even microwaving them in like a little bit of water is a great one, or even simmering them in a little bit of water. But I do find I don't know. Sometimes when I, even sauteing them sometimes doesn't, I don't know. They get soggy, I find.
You might get uneven cooking almost if you're sauteing them. Yeah. If they're, I don't know, maybe they're a little freezer burnt or something. If they've been in there too long, like it can get a little tough sauteing. I totally agree with you. Steaming will yield a really great result for frozen vegetables.
And then I know that, you know, steaming isn't always like the most palatable way to eat vegetables, steamed vegetables, but you know, then I might add a dip or a sauce to them or something like that to make them a little more.
Once you steam them, it's a great opportunity then throw them in a hot pan with a little bit of oil and quickly saute them, give them a little bit of a crunch.
Yeah, love it. And then one other thing about frozen vegetables, what you can do with them if you don't even want to like cook them is you can add them basically straight to like soups or stews or chilies, things like that. Just put the frozen vegetables in like in the last few minutes of cooking and they'll like defrost and cook a little bit and they'll be perfect in your soup or stew or whatever it is that you're cooking.
I love that. I think a lot of people are scared of making soup and stew. Like, people think it's a really hard thing to make.
Oh, gosh, no.
I mean, people, you might think it's hard because some people pretend like it's really hard. But I don't know, if you're out there and you think that making a stew is hard, I'm here to tell you, like, spoiler alert, it's literally, if you just get broth, put broth in a pot and you add vegetables, you've made a vegetable stew.
Yeah.
That is literally it. All it is. And what you can do is if you don't even want to sit or stand over the stovetop, you can put it in the oven. Put it in an oven safe pot or a casserole dish or something with a lid. Or a Dutch oven, and put it in the oven, and it will reduce in there, and you'll get a lot of flavor, and you don't even have to sit and stir anything and make sure that nothing's burning at the bottom. Wow. It's so easy to make a stew. Do not be afraid of it.
I love that. I'm going to try that. I didn't know I could do that.
You can add like cooked rice to it or meat or whatever, like whatever you want. And
yeah, like pulses, lentils, chickpeas, absolutely. Things like that. Amazing. I love it.
Here's one. Microwave your potatoes. I mean,
don't
be afraid. Don't be ashamed to microwave your potato. It's okay. You like if people look at you funny or say, oh, that's you're being lazy. Like they're the ones that are missing out on an 8-minute baked potato.
Seriously.
It takes no time. You fork it. It's almost exact same texture and same flavor. Like you're not missing out on anything.
No. And it takes so long to bake a potato in the oven. It takes like almost an hour, depending on how big it is.
And you could do it with sweet potatoes too.
Same. Yeah, exactly. I definitely do that when I want like baked sweet potato. And I learned that from my parents. They always did that. They just made them baked potato in the microwave. It's so much quicker and you basically get the same result.
It's a great tip. And I'll also say if you are short on time, maybe you don't have a microwave. Some people don't have microwaves. Boiling potatoes is a lot faster to get them to a mashed state than baking them.
Yeah, good tip.
It's like 20 minutes as compared to 40.
I like that. Yeah. So microwave, then boil, then bake your potato.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't start with baking.
And then put them out in the sun. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a good little tip. Freeze greens or even herbs that are like about to go bad in cubes. So this is a great thing that you can do, and you can use these things for a lot of different things. So I always find it hard to use up greens like spinach or I don't know, whatever greens I have, or even some herbs before they go bad. I feel like I'm always, no matter how much I try to, you know, store my fresh herbs well and preserve them, I still tend to end up throwing them out before I've used all of it.
It makes me not want to buy them, honestly.
I know.
Because I'm like,
oh, it's another thing like green onion prior to, you know, putting it in the...
Prior to my new knowledge.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So what you can do is you can freeze them into cubes. So if you just blend the greens or the herbs or do them together, blend them up with like a little bit of water so that they're able to blend, and then pour that blended mixture into an ice cube tray, freeze it, then pop it out of the ice cube tray, store it in like a freezer bag or a container in the freezer. And then you can add them. You can add the cubes, the greens and herbs cubes to things like soups.
A saute or something.
A saute. You can add it to smoothies if you want to do like a green smoothie. You can add it to... Yeah. So that's a great way to store them so that you don't waste...
I love that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I...
The number one rule on this podcast is we're so polite.
We are, but yeah, that's a really helpful one, because it can be... I know it can be hard to... it's heartbreaking to throw out, like, greens or herbs before...
And it's expensive.
Yeah, yeah, it's expensive. So try that one.
I love that. You know, I had this written down, and then, you know, through the magic of our telepathy, we communicated to each other, and you had posted the very thing that I was going to say as a tip. There's a lovely Instagram post of Hannah making quick pickled radishes. You should go, or beets. You should go check out.
No, it, cabbage.
Oh.
Red cabbage.
Red cabbage, sorry. Radishes. Beets. Cabbage. Oh my.
Whatever the next pink purplish thing is.
And a quick pickle is amazing. Mm. So obviously you can go check out Hannah's blog post about that. Quick pickles. Also, why am I saying this as a tip? Because it adds a lot of flavor to a lot of dishes.
Yeah.
Even if you're making a saute or like having a dish with rice and vegetables on the side and whatever protein, throwing some quick pickles on there can add a lot of flavor. If you're making a sandwich, if you're having a hot dog, quick pickle is so great.
Mm-hmm.
It can be like literally as easy as adding enough vinegar to cover the vegetables, a little bit of sugar, like a spoon, a little bit of salt, and make sure you slice those vegetables thin. So I guess there is a little bit of prep there because you want to make sure that the vegetables actually get pickled. And it can be as short as 10 minutes, or you can leave them in the fridge. Like, it's such a great way to get a lot out of vegetables, a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
And like, there's getting a punch in food can be hard, right? Like, you can have something savory and it can taste really good. Like a mac and cheese, for example. But then you go ahead and you add a little bit of fresh parsley and some lemon zest to a mac and cheese. And it's like, oh, like all of a sudden it's like every mouthful is like almost like you're eating like sour cherry blasts or something. Like there's so much happening in your mouth because you just add a little bit of that like really intense flavor. And I think quick pickles do the same thing. They add that pow to anything that you're eating.
I love that. Yeah, I love quick pickling vegetables. And you know what? Like, before I ever did it, even though it was called quick pickling, like, I thought pickling was intimidating, but yeah. I still thought quick pickling was intimidating because I didn't, you know, I wasn't familiar with it. And I...
Well, like, days? Yeah, like, what's
quick? Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but it's so easy, you guys. Like, trust me, it's so easy to do. And it, like Tarek said, adds a lot of flavor. It really adds a punch to whatever you add it to. I had those quick pickled red cabbage on...
Quick pickled red cabbage. Quick pickled red cabbage.
I put it on... I had a sandwich for dinner tonight. Really exciting. But I made... Mm-hmm. It's going to go up on my blog. Actually, maybe it'll be on my blog when this episode goes out. But a curried chickpea salad sandwich...
Oh, amazing.
And then I put some of the pickled red cabbage on the sandwich. So good. Delicious. So
that sounds divine.
Both recipes on my blog. All right. So maybe I'll do one more.
Which we should link in the description.
Okay. I will link it actually. One more and then we will do our tasties. But the last one that I have is to use as much of the vegetable as you can. So this is like almost like a low waste tip preparing vegetables. But there's some vegetables that, like, traditionally when we prepare them, at least, like, traditionally when I say that, I mean, like, in my household growing up, like, we would only use, like, the, what do you call that? Like the...
Like the green of broccoli.
Yeah, like the head florets, of the broccoli, the florets. Yeah. And you wouldn't use the stem. You just throw it out. And it's like a huge part of the broccoli. Or same with cauliflower and things like that. So try to use as much of it as you can. Like if you're making a soup with broccoli or a stew or chili, or you're using cauliflower, or even you're roasting it, like chop up the stem and roast it too. It's edible. You can eat it.
Totally.
And if you toss it with oil and rub with the spices, like Tarek said, just as you would the florets or whatever it is that you're roasting, it will still taste good. It's and
totally.
you're reducing waste. You're saving money because you have to, you know, you don't have to buy as much if you use the whole thing. So that's one vegetable. Things like bell peppers. I've seen, like, you know, different hacks for, like, the easiest ways to cut them and stuff on social media, but some of them, like, cut off so much of the pepper. It, like, cuts off, you know, they try to, like, cut off the stem, but then they cut off, like, half the pepper.
Yeah, what's
and
up
it's
with
like
that?
A okay, it might be easy, but you just lost half of that $6 red bell pepper. So, like, what?
I know. You know? I hate seeing that.
So, anyways, try to use as much as you can. You know, if you're cutting up bell peppers, literally use as much of the vegetable as you can. Don't throw that away. That is precious. And even things like, I don't know, like certain greens off of things, whether it's broccoli or cauliflower or like the tops off of carrots. I don't know if people, like if you buy them at a farmer's market, I guess.
I throw them in a salad.
Yeah, throw them in a salad or in a sauce or like a pesto, something like that.
Yeah. I've made carrot top pesto.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. So try to get creative and use as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's edible and you're saving yourself money. You're reducing food waste. Yeah. So that's my last tip.
You truly read my mind. I have two last ones. Okay. One of them was about food waste as well. And just to add to what you were saying, you can use that up in things that you might not even think of right away. Like, of course, like people like smoothie, whatever, like you can totally throw vegetables in a smoothie.
Yeah.
You could also make a savory muffin. If you're making muffins, like make some of the batch savory and throw in some of those chopped up vegetables. If you're making an omelet, it's so easy to just throw some of that stuff in. It's like, it's going to taste the same, even though it's the bits that you usually don't use. And making something like an omelet or making something like muffins is already, like maybe you're already going to be doing that. So you can just use the rest of that food rather than wasting it. And the very last thing is, this is something I learned. I don't know about you, but I really like this. Bring the pan to your cutting board and then slide the vegetables off into the pan. Don't carry your cutting board all the way over to your pan and then try to carefully, you know, hold the board over the pan and try to knife in the vegetables. It's so much easier to just bring your pan to you. It's way less headache. It's something that I really love doing, something that I was taught recently.
Oh, what a good tip. I definitely don't do that. I definitely bring the cutting board over to the pan. You're so right. It's so much easier.
You can just slide the stuff off the cutting board into the pan.
Yeah, I love that. Wow, good tip. That's a great one. That's a great one to end on.
Thank you. Well, now I have a question for you, Hannah.
Amazing.
What is your tasty?
So, what's been tasty for me this week is something that it's an activity. It's not a food. So this week, Pat and I took a couple days off, and we rented a little cabin near a ski hill. We're in love. We're getting married.
Literally.
And it was really, really nice. But what was my tasty about that, you know, the whole thing was nice, but I don't know why, but when I was writing out my goals for the year in January, I was like, what do I want to do? Like, what do I want to do this year? What new things do I want to do or things do I want to start doing again? And one of them was that I wanted to snowboard.
Okay. Yeah.
So I honestly don't know like what possessed me to want to do that. I did snowboard. I took snowboarding lessons back in like junior high school. So I had some, like I'd done it before, but I never got good at it. I was never good at it. But I was like,
it looks hard.
It is very hard. And I've also, I feel like I always have to give this background, but I also have a skiing background as well. Before I learned to snowboard, I learned to ski. And so I've done both and neither of them I'm like amazing at. I'm not good at them. Okay. But I can do them. And so anyways, I was like, I want to snowboard. And I don't know, it was just like one of those things. It's like, you're never too old to do something. Like, you know, I was trying to tell myself that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, that's kind of silly. People are going to think like, who's this old lady on the ski hill trying to snowboard?
Okay, I'm not listening to that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, it was like, I did it before and then I didn't stick with it.
You thought your snowboarding days were behind
you. Right. And why would I do it again? Like, it's really hard. Why not just ski? That's easier. That was kind of what went through my mind. But I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a lesson and I'm going to do it. Like, and anyway, so I did it and I was really proud of myself that I just told myself that I was going to try something or retry something.
I'm really proud of you.
I am... You know, I fell a lot. I've got a lot of bruises. Okay. And I had like a little bit of a meltdown at one point on the hill because I was just like frustrated because it wasn't going well at one point. But in the end, it was really, really fun. And I'm happy that I did it. So if there's something you've been wanting to do and you're like, oh, I'm too old for that, or oh, like I'm not good at that, I'll never be good at it, just do it anyways. And, you know, set a goal to do it and
I've never done either. I'd love to do one of
them. You should. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so, you know what I'm like on the ice. I'm like a Bambi. Like, my legs are so long and my knees are so wobbly. I have no balance at all. But I enjoy trying stuff. I'm always up for whatever.
Yeah, you should give it a try.
Well, I love that too.
Thank you.
That is wonderful.
Thank you. So what's yours?
Maybe I will do something. I'll think about what I want to do. So mine is also not a food. And I'm going to send you a text with some of the stuff in it because it's kind of visual. So maybe people out there will know who this is because I live under a rock and this person has almost 2 million followers on Twitter, but I had no idea, and on Instagram. But this is James Fridman, and James Fridman is famous for making Photoshops for people.
Okay.
And so usually they're really funny. That's why I sent you the Twitter account. You should look through that first before looking at the pictures that I showed you, because a lot of them are like, people know that he's really funny at it, at making Photoshops. Okay. So they'll send him a photo and they'll say, can you please get this like stranger out of the back of the photo, please.
Okay.
And
okay.
Instead of removing them, he'll put the stranger like right at the front of the photo, covering everybody else in the picture, like stuff like that. But sometimes James will get some earnest asks of people, you know, who like don't want it for fun.
Okay.
And they want, you know, a little bit of a confidence boost because they're not comfortable with their own self-image. So one of these was from a young woman, and she says, hi, I have muscular dystrophy and can't straighten my arms. Can you make me look normal in my homecoming picture? Thanks. And James says, acceptance of your true self can be a constant battle. The term normal is a propaganda technique used by modern society to make us conform to a pre-existing standard. If people can't look past your physical condition, they are most likely not worth your attention. A pretty young girl with a genuine smile and beautiful hair is all I see in this picture. And he just kept the same exact picture.
Yeah.
He didn't change anything about it. I thought that was so beautiful. And there was another one that, like, my heart is so icy and tiny. I need everybody to know that.
No, it's not. And
for something to emotionally move me is, like, always so shocking to me. And I was very emotionally moved by these. So someone else sends a photo. They say, hey, James, I love your work. You're hilarious. And knowing you, you probably won't do this. And I know you get this message a lot, but here it goes. Okay, so I've struggled with my weight ever since I was like, what, 7? I've tried everything to lose weight too. I've done sports, ate healthy, exercises, took pills, legit everything, but I still remain fat. Please just make me skinny for once. It would be a huge favor. I just want to see what I would look like if I was pretty. Thanks. And James says, skinny doesn't necessarily mean pretty. Don't let the struggle of trying to lose weight take the fun out of your life. Stay active, eat healthy, and let yourself be happy and just the way you are. And I love that. I love that somebody with millions of Twitter and Instagram followers is sending out messages like this, especially with something so fraught in diet culture as Photoshop. And, you know, manipulating your body to the extent that, I didn't know this, to the extent that people are, like, quote, like, kind of Photoshopping or manipulating their bodies in videos. I didn't know that technology had gotten this good. But for example, Kendall Jenner and other people have been found like distorting their body shape in videos of them moving. So like people will say like, oh, it's a video. Of course it's not Photoshop, but apparently you can make your waist smaller with an app in a video. I know. I'm so old. I didn't know that was possible.
Wow.
So I just thought this was so beautiful. James Fridman is my tasty because he seems like such a cool guy.
Yeah.
He has his own organization called the James Fridman Foundation. Every child deserves to be happy, valued, and understood. It says, we believe that every child should have an opportunity to be heard and supported regardless of their background, race, or social status. We help children and young people to overcome hardships through art, humor, and creativity. I thought that was really cool. Apparently in October 2016, he collaborated with something called the Truth Initiative for a public health organization that's dedicated to smoking cessation. Cool. And in March 2019, he collaborated with Bumble to support the criminalization of unsolicited lewd photos. Well, that was really cool. So this person just seems like so sweet and nice and talented. And He's my tasty of the week. So yeah, go ahead and go follow someone who's like actually fun for once on social media. It's FJamie013 on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yeah, that's, it's always so powerful when someone with such a large following actually like
is cool
and yeah. like, you know, sticks up for I don't know, yeah. going against
and
the
isn't
grain
trying to,
and
like, sell you collagen,
right?
And isn't trying to
exactly, exactly. I love that. That is so sweet. Yeah, reminder.
And for it to be a guy is shocking.
Yeah, totally.
That's really crazy.
Social media is supposed to make you happy. Like the things that yeah, you follow yeah. are supposed to make you happy. And if you're finding that they're not yeah. doing that, you need to follow more people like, what's his name? James. Like James.
James.
And accounts like that.
Or like us.
Or like us.
Okay.
Yeah. Debunking yeah. nutrition BS and diet culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is everything we have for you today. That was a very diverse up and down episode. It was intense at the start. It was light and fun in the middle. And then it was, what was it at the end? It was moving
happy,
at the end.
Happy,
yeah.
Moving.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, that was a well-rounded episode. If that's that's being nice.
some great life goals from you.
Life goals, snowboarding,
anti diet culture. Well, I like it. You wanted to do something, and you
I did.
It.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Take a screenshot of this episode. Share it on your Instagram story. Tweet it.
Do that. That is cool.
Text it to your friends, to your mom, to whoever. Tell them to listen to this episode.
People who share my podcast are my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's everything. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye, Roxanne. That one's for Remy, because Remy's coming from season one. So,
oh my god,
like,
yes!
Where's Roxanne been for so long, and then finally it's here.
That really dropped off.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.